Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
This is the Talking to Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesy, here with my co-host today, Dalton Miller. We are still in Mobile, Alabama at the 2019 Senior Bowl. I'm leaving in like 6 hours. Dalton's leaving after me, so we're not going to be here too much longer, but we enjoyed our stay here. We are in our friend's apartment right now, or I guess this is an apartment? What would you call
it? So this is definitely an apartment. It is on top of a barbecue place. That friend is Tyler Browning. He is also from Dallas. He is a Cowboys fan and listens to the podcast. Met him actually for the first time down here. I think a couple months ago you said that you were coming down here, and we kind of got hooked up then, and he is being gracious enough to let me sleep on the couch in this lovely apartment, which is about 4 times the size of ours that we were staying in. And that was like a detached house.
I'd say it's more than 4 because I feel like the room we're in right now is probably 4 times. It's huge, but we're
very nice for one person, yeah. To be honest.
Yep. This is like a family apartment. But our week's winding down here.
Winding down? It's over.
It's pretty much over, yeah. You know, we're not going to... There's nothing really going on tomorrow. They have walkthroughs tomorrow that the media cannot attend. There's a fan event tomorrow that the media can't attend, but me or Dalton will not be there. So this is going to be the last on-site coverage you'll get from us at the Senior Bowl. So we got a lot to cover, so we're going to dive into it. We wanted to start the podcast off talking about some of the confirmed meetings that we know about. And obviously, you know, I've seen different, you know, viewpoints on this. You know, they meet with a lot of guys at the Senior Bowl because they have the time to do so. They don't have a set limit. But yesterday, you know, in the second floor of the hotel, you had guys pull players aside, sit down, and really have in-depth, not formal interviews with them, but in-depth interviews with them for 20, 30 minutes. It wasn't just a stop by, ask a few questions, get them out of the way. It was a sit down and really, you know, talk to that player. So these are the guys that we have that have done those, I guess you could call it a formal / informal, somewhere in between meeting. North Dakota State running back Bruce Anderson, Florida State defensive tackle DeMarcus Christmas, Georgia State wide receiver Penny Hart, Arizona State defensive tackle Rennell Wren, Old Dominion University wide receiver Travis Fulgham.
Fulgham,
I don't know how you pronounce it, but ODU kid. And then we got NC State wide receiver Jacoby Myers. And then there was a mystery man that I watched Scout and Chris Hall talk to yesterday for, I swear it was 1 hour and 15 minutes that I couldn't find out who it was. I looked at the back of his head.
So at first it was a tiny receiver, and then it looked like it was Charles Amenihue.
No.
And then I got into an argument with Connor about the difference between 205 pounds and 260 pounds. So we started guessing the weights of random people on the field during practices, and you were definitely wrong about every single one of them.
No.
That guy was like 6'2", 210. No. He just was, Connor. No. And then I said, well, I'm 5'11", and I'm 195 pounds. Look at me. Look at him. I know he's further away, but I can guarantee you that man is over 195 pounds. You said he was about 180. You're wrong. Just admit it. You were wrong about that.
I'm not going to admit that because we don't know, because we were standing 500 feet away. But we do know the measurements of these guys.
We also weren't 500 feet away.
We were along.
Like,
yeah,
it was
along
more like 250.
It was like,
it was less than a football field away.
You thought it was 250 feet away?
Yes.
You mean yards?
No. 250
feet is like...
less than 100 yards, yes. We were under 100 yards away from there. Were we not less than 100 yards away from the sideline?
We're
going to
phone
we
a friend.
Sitting?
How close were we to that ref standing at the 50-yard line and we were like 50 rows up in the bleachers?
I'd say it's about a solid like around 30, 40 yards.
Yeah, not much at all.
How wide is a football field?
58 yards, or here we go. So here, something yards.
So here we go. So it's
53.
53 divided by 2 is what? 21 and a half.
Yes.
And then you got the sideline to the railing. That's probably another 21 and a half. So there's 40 yards. It was all right. We're literally wasting time. Let's go over the measurements of the guys that we know that the Cowboys have met with. That we know these are official measurements because they weighed in at the Senior Bowl, so we're not guessing on these. Bruce Anderson weighed in at a thick 5'1", 212, 209. Really thick in the lower half, powerful in the upper half. He did suffer an injury today, or sorry, yesterday, in the practices that we weren't able to attend, so he did not practice today. They called up the Pitt running back. Was it Darren Hall from Pitt, another big guy to take his place. So Bruce Anderson suffered some kind of an injury. They didn't really tell us much about it yet. I'm sure that's something we'll find out a bit later. He's a guy that the Cowboys did meet with, so good size to him. Underutilized receiver at North Dakota State, so he wanted to show that. And I thought we saw some nice things from him in Tuesday's practice before, obviously, Wednesday we didn't get to watch him, and then he got hurt, so we didn't see much of him. But what we saw, I think, it's hard for these running backs to really make their mark because it's a lot of, one-on-ones. So they catch the ball, and I thought he did a good job of doing that. He struggled in pass protection, but, nothing really wowed you, but at the same time, he did everything well. DeMarcus Christmas weighed in, again, at a thick 603-7302. He ended up actually losing some weight over the last few weeks because he was listed at 320 at one point at Florida State, so he's down about 15 to 18 pounds. Really wanted to show off his pass rush ability this week, get his speed, his explosiveness, his burst going, probably losing some of that weight to show that. And I think we saw some signs of that throughout the week. He's probably a one tech in Dallas is what I would assume. That or a two-gap guy for an odd front scheme, but I think he's going to be more of a one technique in Dallas that plays the run, that can do a little bit off is a pass rusher, but not a super athletic guy, not a guy who's going to have 10 sacks a year, but a guy who could come in late rounds and maybe plays a rotational interior guy. Penny Hart, that's been a huge name this week. He's made himself, I want to say, a lot of money this week. He's a guy that I covered about a week ago, week and a half ago, in a Blogging the Boys article, and I feel like everything we talked about is everything he showed. Really good hands, just ability to separate. His separation route running ability is just probably first or second best here this week, outside of maybe Samuel and...
Nah, I mean, he separates better than Samuel, but he's also, 35 pounds lighter than Samuel as well.
Julio Jones says hello.
What?
Julio Jones is a great route runner. He's fat. He's thick. You don't have to be small. You can be big and be a good route runner.
Yeah, but we're just talking about strictly separation.
Yeah, I know. No, I was talking about his route running.
I thought you were talking about gaining separation.
No. I'm saying
as a route runner,
he's probably the first, second, third best guy here.
Yeah, I would say him, Debo, Hunter Renfro, and then, man, I really like what Terry McLaurin was able to bring this week. I was really surprised by him because he was kind of an afterthought in that Ohio State offense, but we'll get down to wide receiver talk later.
Rennell Wren, another really, really impressive physical guy. 6'04", 4'3", 15. He absolutely looks the part. Can't really look the part any more than he does. Guy that can play the one, can play the three. He's explosive. He actually does a decent job of playing the run as well. So
looks like a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, he's a freak. Physical traits just off the charts. I think he's going to test really well. His size is super intriguing. So there's a lot to like about him. And if you took all of his good tape at Arizona State and put it on the field for the Senior Bowl, that's kind of what we saw. There wasn't a lot of bad reps from him. So he had a really nice week, answered a lot of questions that I had about him, about his hand technique, hand placement, some of the pass rush moves. So he had a really good week. Travis Fulgham, however you want to pronounce it, ODU receiver, 6023, 210. He also met with the Cowboys. A guy who I thought came in, you know, under the radar and had a good week, running routes, creating separation, catching the football. You know, did a lot of good things. I think, you know, being a small school kid out of Virginia, he came in here and did a lot of good things. I said it, was it yesterday I said it about Terrence Williams, or was that today?
Today.
That reminds me, a better version of Terrence Williams.
Whoa, hold on. Before you go and say that to Cowboys Nation,
that's true,
you need to preface it by saying that he uses his hands to catch the football.
Yeah.
I know I don't want to get into the devilish talk that is EPA, but Terrence Williams' numbers in that area were actually quite good.
Yeah, and the crazy – all right, so look, here's the thing about Terrence Williams.
Terrence Williams was not a bad football player.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
We just hated him because he didn't look good.
Well, and then he did stupid stuff off the field, and
but that's all different. People hated Terrence Newman, Oh my God, Terrence Williams, way before that.
Yeah, I mean, again, he blocks well. He catches the football with his hands well, and the thing that I like too is he used his body at the right times. And I don't want you to mistake that as me saying he's a body catcher, because he's not. He uses his hands just as good as he uses his body, but he ran a few slants today against Lonnie Johnson, a guy that I think we're going to mention later. And Johnson was in good coverage, runs a slant on one-on-one across the middle. Johnson's kind of coming over his back to defend the ball. Instead of using his hands and exposing the football to be knocked away, he shields Johnson with his body, catches the ball in his gut, secures it, goes to the ground. Really, really nice play from him to see the nuances in his ball skills at the catch point. So I did like that. Jacoby Myers is the last guy that we know officially had some kind of sit-down meeting with the Cowboys. 6016, 196. Purely probably going to be a slot guy, even though he did do some things as an outside receiver this week. Had some success. I can't talk. Guy with some size. Guy with, good releases off the line of scrimmage. Pretty consistent hands. A lot to like about him. You know, he's a really nice guy. I was able to sit down with him last night and ask him a few questions. And, I asked him about fitting in with the Cowboys offense. And he talked about Amari Cooper, how much he liked Amari Cooper, how much he would love to play. Even mentioned Michael Gallup by name, which shouldn't surprise a lot of people. But, Michael Gallup's not really a household name. So the fact that he does sit down and watch, NFL tape and see those guys work and see what he wants to get to, I was impressed by that. So, out of those guys, who do you think had the best week on the field? I mean, I know Penny Hart's probably the best. I don't know. Who would you say out of the guys we mentioned, who would you say had the best week?
Honestly, man, I think Mystery Man had the best week out of all of them.
I do too, because they talked to him for like an hour and a half. So.
No, out of the rest of those guys, I would probably go with Jacoby Myers, because I didn't see it as much today, but he does a really good job of creating separation without being a premier athlete, which is something that he'll still be able to do because he has to do it technically. He's very good at manipulating defenders and going at them, creating leverage opportunities. He really attacks outside shoulders on his releases on slants. He does a really good job of firing his feet, but not dancing at the line of scrimmage. Everything that he does is with a purpose. He had a route, I believe it was on Tuesday, it was the first day, against Amani Oruwariye from Penn State, cornerback, really highly touted, and literally put him on his face.
He was terrible this week.
Didn't think he was terrible this week. Chris Boyd does still exist.
I didn't say he was the worst one. I said he was terrible. There was a lot of bad DB play this week.
There was a lot of bad DB play, but 1v1s are tough, man, because you don't know what's happening. The ball is coming your way. You have to be perfect. And you have no help. There's a lot of times in man coverage where the ball just doesn't get to where, even if guys get open, because there's help inside or there's help over the top. You're able to shade guys and do those sorts of things. When you're out there on an island by yourself, things become more difficult. So I don't think any, if we're looking at it, none of the corners actually did good, but you could put Revis out there in 1v1s and he would get toasted a couple times against these guys. In Revis's prime, not right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
That's just the way that 1v1s are. It's just like D-line will always beat offensive line and offensive and defensive line 1v1s. It's just tailored towards the opposition.
While I like what Myers did, I think Travis Fulgham was a guy that really helped himself this week. You know, a guy that's long, he's tall, he's got some mass to his frame, and he runs routes well. He creates separation well, so that's good to see from a guy that's 6'2", you know, a little bit above 6'2", and then a guy that's 210 pounds, able to sink his hips, create separation at the break point, had some releases off the line of scrimmage that I really like, and like Dalton mentioned with Myers, you know, some of these guys, I know with Sills earlier, we watched him literally, you know, off the line of scrimmage, given a release that looked like he was dancing, and it's, some of that stuff gets a little frustrating to me, because it's like, you're not going to do that in a game. You're doing that in one-on-ones to try to confuse a DB, and it's just, it's sometimes it's like, okay, you know, the quarterback's holding the ball for 4 seconds in one versus ones. That's never going to happen. But that's what I liked about Myers and Fulgham is they're just able to come off the line of scrimmage. You know, they're either stacking the DB, you know, resetting him. They're doing a lot of things with their footwork that's quick, it's clean, it's crisp, and it gets them open. So I like that. I like the way those guys caught the ball. You know, and again, between Penny Hart and Rennell Wren, I think that those two would be the obvious answers. So we're trying to go outside the box a little bit because I really think Rennell Wren was one of the most disruptive defensive linemen there this week, really, on the interior, right up there with Daylon Mack, some of those other guys. So those are all the official, somewhat of a formal meeting that the Cowboys had with players this week, whether it was a sit-down thing. Some of the guys just, you know, like I said, passing by, I didn't really try to track that as much because it's not as important. But these guys actually sat down and had some, you know, more than just a, hey, how are you, nice to meet you conversation. It was, I want to know your backstory. I want to know what happened on this play in this game at this time. And that was the thing that I liked. And a guy that we didn't list for some reason was Greg Gaines, the Washington defensive lineman, nose tackle. Again, he's a funky looking dude because he's I don't have his measurements up here. We didn't write him down for some reason, but I want to say he's lighter. He was listed at 327 at Washington at one point, and he was like 6'1", 327. But I want to say he's like 5'11", 3.
Nope. He is 6'1", 307.
Yeah, so he lost.
But he plays shorter than that. I mean, he plays tiny.
Well, he looks tiny because he's so wide and he's not tall. So that the way his body's structured is he looks short and stout, and that's the way he plays. You know, he's a leverage player that really, you know, pushes the pocket at times, but he's a gap guy that's going to get in gaps, fill gaps, and make it tough for teams to run the football against him. And I think that you know, that's a good sign to tell you what the Cowboys are looking at. They looked at Christmas. They looked at Wren. They looked at Gaines. That's three interior defensive linemen. Two of those three are kind of versatile guys that can play one or three, and then Gaines is obviously a primary nose. And then receivers. They had Myers, Fulgham, Part, and then, you know, the one running back in Anderson. You know, they're probably looking
for... You called him Part, by the way.
Part?
Yeah, you said Part.
I don't think I did. I think you're making that up.
No, absolutely not.
No, we'll go back and listen afterwards. I definitely said Hart. But yeah, first rounder Penny Hart. You know, just a stud. He's going in the first round. Gotta go to New England, catch 70 touchdowns in 10 years, and we're all gonna be wondering what the heck we were doing, except for me.
It's only 7 touchdowns a year, man. That's not that many.
That's not bad.
That's not mean it's not bad, but it's not that many.
Just remember where you were. I tweeted this out last night. Just remember where you were when Connor Livesey started the first-rounder Penny Hart movement on Twitter. Remember where you were, because it's going to happen. And even if he doesn't go in the first round, he goes in the third round and he's just a stud. Just remember, it was the same Juju Smith-Schuster argument. Just stud, gets open, catches the ball.
Sure.
Stud.
Sure.
He's a stud.
Go for it. I'm pretty sure Juju's 6'2".
Yeah. Does the same.
So he's got 6 inches on him.
Dalton's an idiot. You know, I've been working on him all weekend. It's been a rough weekend for him. We're going to take our first break a little early.
You literally haven't seen me during the weekend at all.
I know. I keep saying the weekend because I feel like it's the weekend, but I'm going to be back at my actual job tomorrow, and that's horrible. But we're going to take our first break a little early, come back, talk about some more of these receivers that we like, some of these defensive linemen that we like, running backs, tight ends, safeties, and maybe a few of these defensive ends as well. We'll be right back after we take our first break. We're talking to Star. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast live from Mobile, Alabama, here at the 2019 Reese Senior Bowl. Last day here, last night here for us, so we'll be going back home tomorrow. We'll be watching the game on Saturday, live tweeting the game and everything, but today's the last day of practices that we're able to attend. So we're out, we're peacing out, we're going home, going back to our normal lives, unfortunately. But I want to give a big shout-out to Blogging the Boys. I want to give a big shout-out to SB Nation and Vox Media. Thank you guys so much for allowing us to host this podcast, helping us put it out, helping us get it out there to all the listeners. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you're liking, you're rating, you're commenting, whatever you need to do so. Make sure you do that for us, please, so we can continue to bring you the content. All right, we want to talk about some of these receivers that we did not mention in the meetings. The first one I'm going to let you talk about since you're so deeply in love with them, and that is Deebo Samuel, South Carolina.
Oh, I thought you had more to say there. You're like, Deebo Samuel, South Carolina. I thought there was more coming there. No, he was the best player on the field all week. You know, I can't think of anybody that had a better week. Can you? I mean, you're going to say Penny, right? Is it Penny? Is that...
You can't tell me that I'm giving.
He's
him
giving the you know the duck lips look.
Yeah,
looking around.
Yeah.
So who do you think was the best this week?
I mean, I think that's 1A, 1B when you look at it. The receivers.
Yeah,
you could go either way and not be wrong or be right. Really, is what I see.
Yeah, no, I would not agree with that because I do think that Deebo Samuel is the best player in the field. But you know, obviously Penny was good. Deebo is great because he consistently gets separation without being that quick, twitchy, smaller guy. I mean, this is a legitimate 215-pound wide receiver. He reminds me a bit of DJ Moore. He's less athletic, don't get me wrong. He is definitely less athletic than DJ Moore. But they kind of play similarly. They're both extremely good with the ball in their hands. Deebo has multiple kickoff returns, 4 touchdowns. He's not blazing fast. I think he's probably going to run slower than a 5.5. That's just the way that I look at it. You know, on film and here, it doesn't look like he's actually burning away from guys. He gets separation vertically, but it doesn't seem like he's running away from guys like a guy like Terry McLaurin, who we will talk about in a second, does. And he's physical. A lot of what he does well, you couldn't see this week because he isn't out there shaking tacklers off post-catch. And he was still, at 215 pounds, able to absolutely destroy your boy, Johnson, in the red zone today. He ran a whip route. And first of all, right off the release, Johnson was toasted. So if he would have ran a slant, he would have been open. And instead of that, he goes in, hits the whip, comes back out. Johnson just bear hugs him. Flags flying all over the place. I thought Johnson was about to get his eye taken out by one of the flags. And it felt like on every single rep, he was scoring a touchdown in the red zone. Whether it was 1v1s or 7-on-7s, didn't matter. He was getting open. I thought that there were times where he just looked like he was in a completely different class out there. And obviously during one-on-ones, Penny Hart was too. And Penny Hart had good 7-on-7s as well. But he doesn't offer as much upside because he is so limited with his length.
Yeah, I mean, I comparing as far as just pure talent with athleticism, with size, you know, Debo's the more talented receiver, in my opinion. I don't think it's hard to argue that. One's playing at Georgia State, one's playing at South Carolina for a reason. But we've seen talented guys. That's the most fun thing about this whole process to me. Is
Deshaun Hamilton was the best wide receiver here last year.
Yeah.
And he went in, what, the fourth round, fifth round?
It was a third round, I think. It was earlier than I think a lot of people thought. You know, I think he went to the Senior Bowl and helped himself a lot and got drafted higher than I think a lot of people had him.
I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah, yeah, he is. So, but yeah, I mean, Debo's awesome. You know, he runs really good routes, catches the ball consistently. What his tape showed at South Carolina is a guy that wins at the catch point, which, again, you didn't see a lot of that today because his separation was so good that he didn't have to win at the catch point. But when you have a linebacker, a safety over the top, a corner is closer in man coverage, those are the things that you notice with him. So, Samuel, you know, he's a guy that if he's at 58, you have to strongly consider that because you'd be getting tremendous value there with a guy who could come in, line up in the slot, even play a little outside, even do some return stuff. So he's a guy that, like we mentioned, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, whatever, but I told Dalton, I said, you know, he does remind me a little bit of DJ Moore, just not as athletic. So maybe that lack of athletic ability will push him down to 58 where the Cowboys could grab a really, really talented receiver.
For reference, Draft Twitter is insane, and they have, like, big mock drafts where 32 people each take a franchise, and they go through and they do a mock draft, and it takes, like, 2 weeks and is terrible. But we all do it, not all of us, but a lot of us do it. And both times I'm picking for the Cowboys and Debo has been sniped from me at 57. So that's what Draft Twitter is looking at when it comes to Debo Samuel. Hopefully, somehow, the hype stays low with him. The NFL doesn't like him much because he doesn't test well. And he's able to come and end up at 58 where Connor will not be touching the pen. And the Cowboys can get a damn good wide receiver without having a premium pick.
Yeah, we were going to mention and talk about Andy Isabella. We're probably not going to have time to go as in-depth as we wanted to. You know, he's a guy that coming into the week, we kind of saw him and Hunter Renfrow is the two top slots here. Pure slots, because you got guys like Samuel and Myers who play the slot but also do some things as an outside guy as well. Isabella came in and I thought really struggled catching the football. He got better as the week went on, but his first few days, Tuesday and Wednesday, just inconsistent as can be catching the football. Anything up close to his gut, numbers, chest that he could body catch, he caught. Anything that used his hands extending, it was double clutch, double catch, drop, and that's very concerning because in the NFL, it doesn't matter how much you get open. If you can't catch the football, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much separation you create. If you can't catch the football with your hands, extend it away from your body, it doesn't matter. So he's going to have to prove, and this was the week for him to prove that, and he didn't. So he's going to have to test extremely well to have myself, have teams, have other draft guys look over those drops at the Senior Bowl because they were obvious and they were concerning. So we'll talk more about him later as this process goes on because he is going to be an option that the Cowboys, I'm sure, are going to be looking at. But let's talk about a guy that we both like that we thought really had a really nice week, helped his draft stock a lot, and that's Terry McLaurin, Ohio State wide receiver. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but a guy who came in, ran really good routes, like Samuel, created easy separation, caught the ball with ease. Would you like from McLaurin, and would you think that he kind of caught your eye with, was it his route running, was it his speed, he kind of did everything. So what was the one thing that you saw him do and you went, okay, you know, that's something I didn't expect him to do that he did do and it helped himself?
So honestly, and I had heard stories about how good he is on special teams, but they went to punt today and he was the first person down the field on every single rep as punt gunner. And that is something that his head coach, the terrible, terrible Urban Meyer, said about McLaurin. And he's somebody who is absolutely a phenomenal athlete. The dude can scoot. He is going to run a blazing fast time. And with the ball skills that we saw and his ability to create separation and fight through contact way better than I thought he would be able to, because he's a pretty lean wide receiver when you look at it. He doesn't have a big frame. So at the top of the routes, being able to fight off of physical corners like Chris Boyd, who can't, you know, stick with anything, but can grab a hold and fight. And if you're able to fight off of somebody with that skill set, you know, it's fun to see something that you didn't expect. And I didn't expect that physicality at the top of his routes. And I really didn't expect for his ball skills to be so good, because he made multiple plays outside of his frame that I didn't expect, because it's not something that you necessarily saw from him at Ohio State. It was a lot of, you know, downfield throws where he's running wide open because a bunch of stuff is going on underneath and nobody's covering him, and he got open deep down the field. Now, for the Cowboys, this gets a little bit different, because where do you play him? Do you play him on the outside? Do you put Cooper on the inside? Do you play him on the inside and let him be that vertical threat that he really is? Or do you try to put him into those shorter and intermediate areas? Is that something that he is going to be able to flourish in? I mean, we saw him get separation on slants and you know, other inside in-breaking routes, quicker stuff, but I can't remember watching him run a whip route this week. Can you? I don't remember seeing any double moves from him. It was him using the athleticism and that quick, you know, just plant and go. There was no putting moves together. And I don't know if that's something that the Cowboys are going to be interested in or not. It all really depends on what direction they want to go with their stud, Amari Cooper.
Yeah, the last receiver we want to talk about is another small school guy, UC Davis Keelan Doss. He's a guy that, again, coming in, I don't know if anybody had watched him because of the school he's from and just not being a real familiar name, but he made a ton of plays. He won a ton of one-on-one reps. He did good things in 7-on-7. He even caught some balls in team drills. He was a guy that didn't do anything spectacular. He wasn't doing the Deebo Samuel, Penny Hart stuff where he was just torching DBs rep after rep. But every time he lined up, he, you know, had a clean release off the line of scrimmage and would beat the DB. Or the next route, he would sink his hips on a in-breaking route. I mean, comeback or curl a hitch, sink his hips, create separation at the top, come back to the ball, catch the ball away from his frame, and then get upfield. I really like what I saw with him. You know, he's a taller guy, if I'm not mistaken. 6'3", 205, as we're pulling it up. Other side, flip it.
Oh, sorry, I missed him over here. He's 6'2", 207.
6'2", 207, so good size. Very tall, long guy, and I think he showed that all week, just being able to go up out of his frame, catch the football. And there were so many, we talked about on the podcast earlier in the week, the flashes that we see from players, and that normally translate to good things. Looking at a guy make a play and then looking down at your sheet and going, man, that was number 8. Who's that? We did that a lot this weekend. We kept going, who's number 8? Because we didn't notice the helmet. We didn't recognize the helmet. It was Keelan Doss. If you're doing that a lot, you're seeing a lot of good things, and that's a good sign that that player is playing well, he's getting open, he's doing things that you want to see him do. And I think, you know, UC Davis is Keelan Doss. He's a guy who's not going to be a top 100 pick. You know, he's a late-round guy that I think helped his draft stock, and that's what's so great about the Senior Bowl, because you have guys like Keelan Doss that no one knows about. They come here, have a good week of practices, then they end up getting drafted in the 5th, 6th, 7th round because of the Senior Bowl week. And I think that that's a situation that we're going to see with Keelan Doss, that coming in, undrafted free agent, probably no question about it. Coming out, you're talking about him as a late-round guy that showed consistent hands, didn't drop the football, ran good routes, created separation. So he's a late-round guy that maybe, you know, Dallas would be interested in, that can come in, play in the slot, play on the boundary. I'm interested to see if he does get a combine invite, and if he does, how he does there. Because if he tests well, then we're really talking about an intriguing late-round option for a lot of teams. We only got about 5 minutes left before we're going to take our next break. What interior defensive lineman outside of the guys we mentioned in Christmas and Wren and Gaines really caught your eye this week in practices?
Well, you know who I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about my fat leap.
Daylon.
I'm going to talk about Daylon Mack. And I will continue to talk about Daylon Mack until he has a star on his helmet. Family, all Cowboys fans. He's a Pats fan, but I'll let it go if he has a star on his helmet. He absolutely dominated in 1v1s this week. And it was all because of the leverage that he is able to play with and the lower body strength that he possesses. Now, he doesn't look like a super long guy because, well, he has no neck whatsoever. He's all head and then shoulders. But he was consistently able to strong arm and long arm interior offensive linemen straight into oblivion back into the quarterback. He was able to do it all week long at will. And then on the off chance that somebody, you know, maybe say Drew Samaya from Oklahoma tries to lean forward and really fight, well, then he swiped his hands away, just went whoop, did the old
two hands work,
double chop and rip straight through to the quarterback. So you see the flashes with the hands. They're definitely not consistent, and he definitely doesn't have a plethora of pass rush moves. But he is super explosive off the snap. Always, in his film, the first guy off of the ball. And that's the kind of stuff that you want to see. And when you have Rod Marinelli and Leon Lett coaching your defensive line, guess what? He's going to get better with his hands. I mean, look what they were able to do. And I know that Antoine Woods was on his way to being a good player before he got to Dallas. But Antoine Woods is freaking good now.
He always was.
Yeah, but he was stuck in a practice squad. He had to be unleashed, unlocked, don't blink. Now, what about you?
Western Illinois, Kalen Saunders.
Mm-hmm.
Another small school guy coming in.
Doing backflips for that guy.
You know. And see, I hated that. I hated that that was a thing coming in because I knew no matter what he did, he was going to get media coverage. People were going to be talking about him because he was a big guy doing a backflip. But the guy came in and played well this week against tough competition. You know, he held his own and probably won a lot more reps than he lost throughout the week. I think, we saw a guy last year, Nathan Shepard, Fort Hays State guy, and really – work him. Yeah, he went in the third round to the Jets, but coming in, no one knew who Nathan Shepard was. He got some media coverage because he was from Fort Hays State. Then he ended up being a top 100 draft pick, and I could see the same exact thing happen with Kalen Saunders this year because of, like I said, his athletic abilities. Obviously, a really good athlete, but he came here and he handled the rising competition. And really handled it to a level that I didn't even expect from him. Just a guy who's real active with his hands. He's very powerful. He converts that speed to power. And, you know, you were talking about Daylon Mack, kind of the lack of variety of pass rush moves. And that's something that Saunders showed. He showed, mm-hmm. He showed a rip. He showed a swim. He showed the two-hand swipe. He showed the cross chops. He actually showed a spin a few times as well. So just being able to see a guy who played at a small school come in, beat competition in different ways, that goes a long way with me. And then when you look at his athletic abilities, size, things like that, it makes it even better. So those are two guys that we did like on the interior, along with the guys that the Cowboys did meet with. I think all three of us, you know, in the room here did like what we saw from those guys as well. So, you know, there's a ton of players to talk about. I don't know how many players they actually had here this weekend, but there's no way we'll be able to cover them all in this podcast. We're going to take our final break, come back. The last segment, last few minutes we got, we're just going to give the favorite player that we had from this weekend and then the player that we are most disappointed in. So maybe somebody we came in with high expectations and they struggled, or a guy that just played so bad that, you know, we don't want to tear him apart, but a guy that really needs to do a lot from this point on to help himself. So we'll be right back after our final break. We're talking the star. And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesy. Find me on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft. Here with my co-host, Dalton Miller. Find him on Twitter at Dalton B. Miller. And we do want to give a big shout-out to Tyler for letting us record this in his Airbnb on the week. What's your Twitter handle, Tyler?
It's at DiabeticTyler.
Follow Tyler on Twitter at DiabeticTyler. We both have diabetes, and we both lived in Virginia, so follow me. Make sure you're following Tyler.
And now he lives in Dallas.
So make sure you're following me, Dalton, Tyler, Cole, at Cole L. Patterson. He's still on the podcast. But
R.I.P.
No, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. All right, so segment I mentioned before, we're going to do real quick, and then we're going to rank these quarterbacks as well. We did want to talk a little bit about the quarterbacks. You know, I don't know how interested the Cowboys are going to be in quarterbacks, but a lot of people are, so we did want to talk about it, kind of tell you who we liked. We're not going to break it down as much, but we are going to list them out, and then we can fight about it later if you want to. Who's your favorite player this weekend? Most consistent? Who you got?
Well, I'm not going to steal your guy, so I'm going to go with Daylon Mack, man. I somebody who was a Shrine Game participant, didn't really know all that much about him besides he was a former five-star guy. And then he comes out, dominates at the Shrine Game, gets the call up here, and then dominates here as well.
Of course, Penny Hart, I'm just his burner account until he gets drafted. So, you know, if you got any negative things to say about Penny Hart, just unfollow me on Twitter since I am
Kick Rocks,
his, pretty much. His family member now that is going to be doing name searching. I'll be tweeting at people.
Mm-hmm.
First rounder Penny Hart, let's do this. Worst player.
Before we get to that, I do just really quick want to say that he loves Penny Hart so much that he will not admit that he has a bad catch radius. And it's only literally because he has short arms and he's 5'8". But the guy that I dislike this week, and I've been on this train for quite a while and it didn't change at all this week, wide receiver,
as
corner. He's a corner. Chris Boyd from Texas. Ooh. Who...
safety.
No. He can't play with the ball in front of him. He can't play the ball behind him. He's just flat out bad. And listen, guys, if literally anybody tells you that Chris Boyd had a good week this week, unfriend them. They're lying to you. You cannot trust them. You're going to hear a lot about the Senior Bowl. There will be differing opinions. There shall be no differing opinions about Chris Boyd this week. What about you?
Worst player. Man, it was tough because the DBs were rough. Man. You know, we're going to probably talk about him here in a second, so I hate to even list him. But Trace McSorley. He was just atrocious.
Yeah, he was not great.
I mean,
I heard he was the best today.
He was atrocious. I mean, 7-on-7s, throwing against air. There was times where I was videotaping and literally just said words that I cannot say on this podcast.
That is very true. Actually, if you go to Dalton B. Miller on Twitter, there is a video of Trace McSorley overthrowing a sail route against air, just straight out of bounds. And Connor had some choice words for him. But we're going to get into this. Yeah, rank the quarterbacks.
I'm going to let you go all the way through, and then I'll come back. And let's just do top five.
Top five. So we're not going to talk about the bad ones.
Let's just do them all.
Yeah. My top guy, Drew Lock this week. I thought that, you know, for somebody who I didn't really like a ton coming into this, I didn't see the second half of the year yet. I haven't seen that film yet, but I'm about to get to it when I get back to Dallas. He really intrigued me this week. He is definitely able to throw from a ton of different arm slots. I'm not going to get into it too much because I got to get to number two guy. My number two guy would be Jarrett Stidham, who also, once again, bad before coming here. I mean, people had him out of their top tens. He was that bad. Honestly, my third guy was the big guy.
Tyree
Jackson. He absolutely surprised me, and his throwing motion is completely awful to me. I hate watching it, but he was very, very good in the red zone today, I felt. My fourth guy would probably have to be Gardner Minshew. I mean, he didn't really flash at all. He was just not bad. Yeah. And a lot of these quarterbacks were just bad. And then they were so bad that I can't even really think of who else was on this roster. Like, I don't want to put Will Greer next. I don't want to put Daniel Jones next. I'm going to put Daniel Jones next just out of being kind. And then I honestly think that Finley might have been better than Will Greer this week. I mean, Will Greer was not good. He was not good this week. So, you know, just give me one.
Is it Greer?
Hold on a second. My seventh quarterback would then be Will Greer, and my eighth is Trace McSorley. How'd you see it?
All right, if I had to break it down, you know, Locke was the best guy there, I think, most consistent. And I think the difference between this year and last year is last year we saw a lot of wow throws from Baker Mayfield, some from Josh Allen even at times. We didn't see that a whole lot this weekend. You know, there was a few of them, but
Locke threw one into a window today that I didn't even know existed. But so, other than that, yeah, you're yeah, right. Yeah.
So, you know, I have Locke at one, and not that I'm going to have Tyree at two just because of the expectations I had coming in. He had a lot of questions for me, and I think he did a lot better than I expected him to. So I'm going to list him at two, and then I'm going to have Jared Stidham at three. Again, same reasons you listed, just a guy who was catching a lot of flack, a lot of hate, came in, I think, performed above all of what he was getting, you know, sold as the last few weeks, last few months, even this whole last year of his season at Auburn. And then I am going to list Daniel Jones four, and I'm not a Daniel Jones guy at all, like whatsoever, but I think that he threw the ball better than I expected him to this week, and for that reason I do want to give him a little bit of credit. He did fumble the ball 5 to 6 times, and that's a huge issue. If he can't control the ball, if he can't protect the ball off the snap, then it doesn't matter how good of a passer he is, but that was a concern. Then I'm going to go Gardner Minshew for the same reasons you said. Didn't make any real spectacular plays, but didn't make any horrible, horrible throws or reads either. So pretty consistent throughout the week. You know, a guy who I don't think is necessarily going to come in and be a starter anywhere, but you talk about a guy who could get drafted in the mid rounds to be a really, really solid backup, maybe developmental guy. That would be good for him. And then I'm going to go... I hate to put Greer in front of Finley and McSorley because he wasn't good.
I mean, you could still, though, because like those three guys were bad.
You could put those three, put them in a hat and pick them, and that's pretty much it, even though I do think McSorley's last.
McSorley was probably
McSorley's
worse.
Last. Greer and Finley could go either way. So I'm not going to spend time arguing on which way they're going to go. Just pick whichever one you want to pick, whichever one you like.
Man, I can't hate your list, so I can't even fight with you in this last little bit.
Yep.
It's unfortunate.
Well, we're going to end on time tonight, and that's great. So... thank you guys for listening. It's been a great week at the 2019 Reese Senior Bowl. Of course, we'll be back next week. We're going to continue our draft coverage, our Cowboys coverage throughout the next few months. We'll be on the podcast probably only once a week, you know, once this draft cycle starts flowing. Maybe more as the combine kicks up, as the draft kicks up. But for now, you know, make sure you're subscribing to us on the different platforms. Make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter at Talking the Star, Blogging the Boys on Twitter at Blogging the Boys, us on Twitter at Connor NFL Draft, at Dalton B. Miller, at Cole L. Patterson. And thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, and Diabetic Tyler. Shout out to him. We wouldn't be able to do this. We'd be doing this out in the parking lot, you know, getting harassed by homeless people if it wasn't for him. So thanks to Tyler. Thanks to all you guys for listening, following our coverage, following and reading our stuff, listening to our stuff. It's been a great week down at the Reese Senior Bowl. We'll see you guys when we get back home. We're Talking the Star. See you guys next time.
Hello, you're listening to Simone de Rochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.